Good evening, everyone. Grab the hymn book. Turn to number 195. 195 stands to sing glory to his name. 195. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus sweetly abides within, there at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Soul at the Savior's feet, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Bill, lead us in prayer, please. Amen.
I shared a couple of people this morning where when Samuel anointed Saul to be king, Saul had a change of heart. And that's what it's all about with Jesus. So many times we think that the New Testament, that all things pass away and all things become new. We think that gospel is the New Testament, but no, it's been the gospel since the very beginning. We look forward to hearing that this evening. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Number 231, follow on, 231. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. His footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus everywhere he leads me. I would follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. With his hand to lead me, I will never, never fear. Danger cannot fright me if my Lord is near. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus everywhere he leads me. I would follow on. Down in the valley or upon the mountain steep, close beside my Savior would my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod, up to where they gather on the hills follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. And number 243, I am resolved to be established. 243. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are noble, things that are noble, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Take a seat for a moment, please. Saw something that was encouraging to me this afternoon. It says, remember one thing. If God calls you, he has taken into consideration your stupidity. Amen. I have a letter tonight from the Palawathakals, missionaries to India. Thank you for your prayers and giving towards the Far Above Ruby's ladies' sewing projects. At the beginning of September, we held an evening meeting to close the latest program. After the meeting began, one of the ladies in the program slipped in late and had a seat in the back. Her face seemed very swollen, and my wife assumed she wasn't feeling well. The gospel was given, and then certificates were handed out. The lady that came in late came forward to receive her certificate. She took my wife's hand and went back to her seat. My wife noticed fresh blood on her hand after the handshake. After the meeting ended, we inquired about what was wrong with the lady that arrived late. It was reported that before the meeting, she and her husband got into some type of argument. It's possible that she was somehow injured. Please pray for her safety and for the family to grow spiritually. God allowed me to be a main speaker for a church camp in Tamil Nadu one week. There were day sessions and nightly preaching. One gentleman at the camp came with his wife and children. He's not a believer and does not go to church with his family. However, he enjoyed talking with me and came to a few of the sessions. When the camp ended, we encouraged him to come to church on Sunday before we head back to Andhra. That Sunday in Bangalore, he came to church. During the morning preaching time, I shared the gospel. He stayed for lunch and after the afternoon service and seemed to connect with several members of the church. Though no decision for Christ was made, he now seems more open to the gospel than he had been in the past. Pray for God to continue to work in his heart and that he will receive Christ sometime in the near future. Evangeline is teaching online flute lessons to two students from Hyderabad.
They are both attending regularly and learning very quickly. One is already practicing two songs, and she will play in church for Christmas. At the camp, Evangeline played the flute for a few times. Two ladies showed interest in learning and asked our daughter if she would give them online lessons. She showed them the flute they needed to purchase and is waiting to hear from them. It's a blessing to see Christians here interested in learning musical instruments and to see God using Evangeline to teach others. Spoken English classes are going well, and non-believers are attending when they can. The classes are held inside a church nearby church, and Evangeline leads them in Christian hymns and songs before my wife teaches the lesson each week. We had a couple of faithful members of the class singing an English song, Let's Talk About Jesus, for the church one Sunday morning. A young girl that attends the English classes wasn't allowed to come into the church and sing with us since her family is of another religion. She instead walked along the roadway beside the church when the other two students and my family sang that morning. Pray for her and others in the community to join the spoken English classes, hear more about Jesus, and accept him as their savior. Our family traveled to several meetings in other areas for church and open air meetings. One meeting near the coastline was held in an area that is very hostile towards churches and Christians. In that meeting, a man that was intoxicated came in and wanted to also speak to the crowd. Members of the church asked him to step back, so then he wanted to cause a ruckus around those sitting in the meeting. They were able to get him to leave, and the gospel was preached for those in the meeting as well as nearby villagers to hear. Several raised their hands and wanted to put their faith in Jesus that night. We had lots of rain, not usual for this time of year, and one open air meeting that was supposed to draw a very large crowd ended up being indoors due to a cyclone that came through. In that area, there are many villages of two different religions. After the gospel was preached, five raised their hands with a desire to accept Christ as our savior. Lord willing, we plan to go back to that area and hold an open air meeting, preaching the gospel to many in the village. Tomorrow begins another round of open air and church meetings, preaching the gospel in 9 meetings of different locations. Pray for safety as I travel with another pastor in a neighboring state. Pray for many people to come out for the meetings and for the plan of salvation to be clearly preached, for people to have open hearts, and for many souls to be saved. For the weekly English Bible studies, there's been a few location opportunities open up, but they are not ideal. One is a building that isn't available on Sundays and is used by several groups. Another place is an existing church that has services on Sundays. There's another large rental hall available we could rent on the main road in the city, but it is rented per day. We can use it on Sundays as long as it isn't rented out for another large gathering like a wedding or a party. Finding a location is challenging, since most buildings are owned by those against Christianity and not wanting church services to be held in their places. I honestly believe God has me to start a ministry in this growing city that we can rent out every month, be available on Sundays, not have others using the same location, and be a consistent place for us to meet on a weekly basis. Pray for God's leading in this endeavor. And that's again the Palawakals to India. So pray for them. And at this time, special, please.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. no great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness, he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. We can only know the power that he holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins when ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
Thank you, Ms. Cassie. And now let's turn to number 224. Stanza saying, holy, 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 224. Stanza saying, merciful and mighty God in three
blessed Trinity.
And number 341, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there that song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Be seated, please. We're glad to have, as I said this morning, that Clauser is with us this week. Good messages this morning, but they're only as good as much as you're willing to apply them in your life. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Well, let's mess that up. too oftentimes that is what we are, is hearers and not doers. No. Yes, right. I better just shut up and let you preach while I'm messing this all up. Come on.
Pastor Connor. Amen. Sure is good to be here. Grab your Bible this evening, Exodus, the book of Exodus. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Hope the message this evening will be a challenge to you, no matter what season of life you may be in. Exodus chapter 3. Won't be anything new, won't be anything that's going to blow your mind, you know, with some doctrinal new truth, anything crazy like that. I just want to give you something simple this evening. You know, as our lives begin to change and the bodies and minds and different things, just situations of life, we can find ourselves in a place where we make excuses for not doing the things which we once did. Sometimes, like I said, that's because of health. That's because of mental capacity. That's because of physical limitations. And God is not blind to that. God is not ignorant to our struggles and our downfalls and the different seasons of life that we have. But oftentimes, what I'll just be honest with you, what I see is believers, as we start to age and the ministry for us changes, the season of life and maybe the service of life changes for us, excuses begin to pop up. When I first got saved, there were excuses. I was excited and wanted to serve God and things, but I did. I put excuses and limitations on myself, even if some of those I did not speak out loud. These verses of Scripture, very simple story. I know you understand here where God is about to call out Moses. God's people have been in bondage over 400 years. God had watched them be beat and whipped and just tortured and just worked as slaves and lived in such a squalor lifestyle that God raised up a Moses that was going to help deliver his people, help lead his people out of bondage. We're going to pray, and then I want you to think about that. If you were God, would you choose you? If you were God, would you choose you? Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Lord, help us this evening as we look at some of the excuses of your man made back then. And help us, dear God, not to make those excuses in our life. Lord, when you prick our hearts or you pull us and tug us in a direction or give us that desire to do something for you, God, help us not to set it aside and make the excuses that often we do. We love you. We thank you. We ask you to meet with us this evening. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I know, young people, you don't probably grow up with baseball cards and things like some of us did, but you know, we used to grow up with these baseball cards and football cards, and I think I had MTV rap cards, and man, they all had all kind of trading cards back in the day. They had ones with real weird, they had mutated people that you weren't supposed to have those in school. You'd get in trouble even in public school having some of them, whatever they wore, yuck face cards or whatever they wore with grossed out people on them, and all kind of different cards. But when you took a baseball card, a lot of time when you turned it onto the back, it would have the previous season or past few seasons statistics on there. Had their batting average, all those things, how many home runs, their pitcher, it would have their averages and things. All types of statistics and information. We have a little minor league team in the city this year. We just couldn't do it. But the previous year, 2 years, we'd get tickets, real cheap season tickets, family-friendly double-A baseball team, and just a nice environment to go watch the sports and watch those players. And, you know, you see some of them, they start off there in that double-A team where they're making like anywhere from like $20,000 to $35,000. I mean, these guys have to love the sport to be able to sacrifice all this time and to be there and for a shot at getting somewhere. And you know, in our area, we have the Akron Rubber Ducks. They're a franchised team of the Cleveland Indians or whatever they are now. They're the Cleveland Indians. Who cares? I don't care. They changed the name. Stupid people. You know, when the head organization people, when the higher-ups or recruiters are looking for a new pitcher or looking for a new shortstop or looking for someone that they may be able to bring up to the Columbus Clippers or whoever the next one is, and, you know, they have all these minor league teams that they move them up through, as they're looking at these guys, they begin to look at those statistics to see who is going to help us get to the next level. Who's going to help us improve in that area where we have a weak spot? I want you just this evening, just for a second, think about Moses' baseball card. If when we get to heaven, God hands us the trading cards of the heroes of the faith, here's Hebrews 11, here's the trading cards, preacher, and we got them there, and we got all those heroes of the faith, and there's Moses' trading card. Now listen, if it was up to me, and I was the God of heaven who could step in and out of time and do whatever I wanted, I don't think I would have chosen Moses. Maybe I would have found some great military leader. It was the 13th century, but maybe we could go back. We could get Ramses the First or Ramses the Second, or maybe we have Godfrey of Bouillon, the first crusader. He was Jerusalem's commando king. Maybe I'm just carnal. I think I'd pick William Wallace. Can you see him stand outside Egypt? There's all the Jews. They're standing there. They're taking their stand right out there by the Red Sea. And Moses is standing there. Freedom! I mean, man, I would have picked someone tough. I would have picked someone that was going to come into town and rock the Egyptians' army, man. I was going to have a leader that was just going to scare them, man, going to beat them sideways twice on Sunday, man. He's going to whoop them. Maybe we'd take Richard the Lionheart, maybe the Ninja Turtles, maybe the Three Ninjas, Rocky, Tum Tum, and Colt. I don't know if you grew up in the 80s. I don't know. You could pick anyone in history. Let's look at Moses' baseball card for a second, and then we'll get into this. At this time, he's 80 years old. Look, I love you folks. I know most of you aren't close to 80. But anywhere in that ballpark, if we're going to go to battle, if I'm going to war, if we're going to take over State College and free people, I am not taking you seasoned saints. I'm sorry, I love you. So, and maybe if you have weapons, let's go. All right, we'll use them. I am not using an 80-year-old man to free my people. Now listen, at one time, kids, you know the story. At one time, Moses was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, wasn't he? He had political influence. 40 years ago, he had political influence. 40 years ago. Remember, Moses fled. He killed them boys. They were beating up that Jew. Remember the Egyptians? He killed those Egyptians that were beating up that slave, right? And he ran. He hid for 40 years. Look, I played football in my hometown. I wasn't a big deal or anything, but maybe you are. Maybe you're a big town local football star or something. I threw big parties and things and was pretty well known. Listen, I graduated 2000, 25 years ago. You leave your hometown for 5 years and come back and watch what kind of big shot you are. I played football in my hometown 5 years ago. All the kids are going to look at you and go, I don't know who you are, old man. Get out of here, you weirdo. We're going to call the cops on you. Moses' reputation, gone. 40 years gone. Moses had, I mean, honestly, think about it. What did Moses have to offer God? What do you have to offer besides himself? God, of course, here in the scripture in Exodus chapter 3, let's read it. In verse number 1, we see Moses begins to make excuses, as we often do. In Exodus chapter 3, in verse number 1, he says this, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he held the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire, and the bush was not consumed. In verse 3 of Exodus chapter 3, it says, And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush Why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses, he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes off thy feet, from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He said, And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And here we begin to see God call him out. God begins to give the purpose. And the Lord said in verse 7, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land unto a good land, unto a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites. He says in verse 9, And now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me. We see that God hears it. In verse 10 he says, Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And here we go. Moses is about to make his first excuse. We have a lot of excuses, don't we, man? I do. Miss Casey, I get going, and she travels with me a good bit more now than she used to. And sometimes I get home, and she'll have things that need done. And man, I got excuses. I got them everywhere. I got phone calls. I got this to do. I got that. If we don't want to do something, we got an excuse not to do it. We do. Let's be honest. And Moses, here in verse 11, he's going to present his first excuse. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" You know what he said here? He said, "I don't have the ability, God." He said, "God, I don't lack the power to do what you'd like me to do." Never allow your inability to be an excuse to not serve God. Sometimes we feel inadequate. We feel like there's no way I can do that. I got saved and man, I got busy doing soul winning, getting plugged in and in the book and all those things. And man, it wasn't maybe 6-8 months down the road of me going through discipleship classes. And man, I was fired up and God was working. And my preacher said, he said, "Brother Phil, would you like to teach a Sunday school class?" And I thought, boy, I've been at church now for almost a year. I know everything them people are supposed to do that they're not doing, right? That's how we are when we first get saved. Man, we're good at picking out other people's problems, aren't we? We're good at it. We're good at it. I was a fresh church member. And I'm looking all. I thought, man, I'm going to rip into him. Boy, he's going to stick me up there. And man, all them seasoned saints that are not doing anything for God and all them young couples that aren't disciplining their kids and taking care of business. I'm going to get up there and I'm going to preach this. I'm going to straighten out this whole church, man. That's what I'm going to do. Young, dumb kid. But man, Lord's going to use me greatly. Preacher said, you think you're ready to teach Sunday school? Yes, sir, I'm ready. Man, I'm fired up. Let's go. I'm ready to teach Sunday school class. He said, "Now, Brother Phil, you know, there's that room in the basement down there under the stairs." I said, "Oh, yeah, I know that room. Yeah, down there. That's the pantry room, right? You need something down there." He said, no, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go clean that room out." And I thought, man, he's losing it. He's changing subject already. I think his mind's maybe going or something. He said, "I want you to clean that room out down there, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to be in charge of the first through third grade boys." Look, my brother's 4 years younger than me. My sister's 8 years younger than me. By the time she was old enough to have to be a person, I was being kicked out of the house and in trouble. I did not grow up around kids. And Brother Phil's flesh hates kids. I don't want the noise. I don't want the stickiness. I like quiet. I like alone. If I got air conditioner and Wi-Fi, I can be on a hill far away somewhere. That is my flesh, man. Just leave me be. Just let me be me. And I said, "Preacher, there is no way." I said, I will kill them kids, man. I said, "You know who you're talking to, man? We'll be making shanks. I tried every excuse to get out of teaching first or third grade boys. We feel like we're not qualified. We feel like it's not in me. The power is not there to do this." But you understand, when God begins to lead in your life and God begins to do things, and I knew that God was going to use me, I was afraid. I knew that God could do that in my life. I knew that God would be able to use me. I was making excuses. Of course, in verse 12, God tells him here, he begins to answer that excuse that Moses made. And he said, certainly, in Exodus 3:12, he said, "Certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." I don't know what it is that God has for you to do. And I understand our seasons of life change, our situation change, our hearts and minds and bodies and everything changes at different stages of life. But never let the excuse of, "There's just no way, there'd be no way I could do that." Do you understand? If God called you to it, that's what he tells Moses here. If I have called you to do it, I will give you the strength. You'll have the power to get it done. I go with you. He said, you have a powerful presence that goes with you everywhere you go. When I first got saved, I got involved in the bus routes, and it wasn't about probably 2 years in, I became the bus director. I transitioned Miss Casey and I from a bus worker to the director. And so I had the captain bus routes and put the maps and do the Saturday stuff. I mean, I had to lay all that stuff out and have all that stuff together and try to figure those things out for the church. And I would go Saturday bus visiting, And I'd worry, man, we'd go into the projects there, and they weren't real bad in where we were at in southwestern PA. We'd go into some little towns there, but they have Section 8 housing. Could be rough, and we would go in a little town where we'd run our bus route, and there's a guy, he sitting out on a lawn chair in the morning. I didn't like my workers to show up till about 10, 11 o'clock anyways, but it was probably about 11 o'clock we showed up, and sitting there in a lawn chair with a pistol in his lap, drunk from the night before, stayed up all night on drugs and alcohol. And he had yelled at my bus workers before. And he had yelled, and he'd threatened Brother Justin, a guy got saved when I did, and was kind of working under me, and I kind of training him. Man, I didn't go anywhere without a gun. I showed up Saturday for, I thought, man, let him be outside. I'm going to whoop him with that gun. I ain't got to shoot it, man. I'm just going to beat him with it. I used to show up places thinking it was in my power. It has to be in my strength. Now listen, I think you ought to be able to defend yourself and protect yourself. You ought to be wise. I'm a street guy. I like being wise. I like knowing where my exits are. I like knowing who's around and those types of things. But listen to me. Do you understand? I had to realize after a while, it's silly of me to constantly think that I can protect everyone. It's silly of me to think that it's in my power to run around the neighborhood, bless God, my people are going to knock doors wherever they want. And if not, I'm going to beat you up. Well, that's a good Christian there, amen. I'm going to beat you to death with my pistol, you mess with my bus workers. And see, somewhere along the line, we think that it's in our power and in our strength. And whether that's the naivety of age or pride or whatever it may be at the time that we're dealing with, there has to be a point in our life where we realize what God has called each and every one of us to do, it doesn't matter what strength we have. And God will use things, and God will train you, and He'll build you, and He'll build your mind and your heart. And He'll give you physical strength and those types of things. But you understand, we have a God of heaven that goes with us everywhere we go. Brother Phil finds himself in some crazy places where I have confidence in the Lord. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with who the Lord is. And the Lord looked at Moses and He said, listen, whatever it is that I have for you, it doesn't matter that you think you can't do it. If I've called you to do it, I'm going to give you the strength, I'm going to give you the power to get done what needs done. He said, I'm going to be there when you go. He said in Psalm 103:14, preacher, you kind of alluded to some of this before the service. For He knoweth our frame. Now, God doesn't call us an idiot. He says, He remembereth that we are dust. God knows we're dust. God knows exactly what you and I are made out of. He knows the strength, the weaknesses we have. He knows our failures and our faults. God knows who and what you and I are. It ought never be that we use the excuse of lack of ability and power to do it. Philippians 4:13, right? We like to claim, I can do all things through Christ. Yet when it comes down to God working in our life and moving on our hearts, it's a shame we don't have more churches with saints that finish this thing off well. Because we get discouraged, we get older. My life getting older, it changes. And I can't run and knock doors. I can't do some of the things I used to do. I get car sick so easy. Now, I'd hate to be back standing backwards on a church bus. In my 40s, I do not think that is going to be real good. That's going to go real well, me standing backwards singing songs on a church bus at this age. I will get car sick and it will be game over, man. But listen, whatever God has for you and I to do, He's given us the power and the strength and the ability to get it done. He said, hey, I'm there with you. That's what He tells them there in verse 12. I'll be with you. You'll know that I'm with you. He says, and when I'm finished, I'll be there at that glorious end. You can't do it. You can't, but God can. Commit thy works unto the Lord. That's what He tells us in Proverbs 16:3. The problem is most of us won't make commitments. We get ideas. We come in and we say, hey, preacher, I got this great idea. And number one, what I've learned, we always want someone else to do it, don't we? Being a bus director, man, people had wild ideas. But I would have had to work 80 hours a week to keep up with all their wild ideas. And man, I had to learn, that's a great idea. If you want to, why don't you do that? That would be wonderful if you went ahead and did that. Why don't you head that thing up? You go ahead and you draw all those maps out by hand that I don't have time to do because I'm trying to raise kids and teach at school and do all those things. But the God of heaven, He has a task for each and every one of us to do. And it's easy to look at life and look at our inability, especially as we get older and especially as things change. And some of you, God's going to start using you in the ministry and wanting to use you around church. And hopefully we'll have some visitors this week. There's a very interesting teenage visitor I want you to meet. Just a unique situation at a church recently. She just turned 18. I'm just going to give you the testimony just because God has it on my heart. We were at their church not long ago. And she gave a testimony. And she was talking about the will of God in her life, and she'd been praying about Bible college and praying about the future and praying about all these things, and a church service, she said, I don't feel like it's God's will for me to leave my local church. I want to serve here. I want to teach my Sunday school class. I believe it's God's will. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how God's going to give me a husband. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I believe it's God's will for my life. Why isn't it that we don't have more young people that just say, this is what God has for me, and I'm going to figure out how God's going to make a way for me to do it? You know, we don't have more young men that say, bless God, I'm called to preach. I'm going to plant a church. I feel like God's working in my life, and I'm going to do this. You know why? Because we're afraid, because we think we have to have it all figured out right now. Because we live in this instant gratification world, young ladies, where I see an unboxing on YouTube and I have to have that toy right now. I live in Akron, Colton, man. You realize we have same day delivery. Now, not on ammo. If it was on ammo, I wouldn't be allowed to travel. We wouldn't have gas money. But you get same day delivery from Amazon. I mean, you name it, I can get it like that. We want instant gratification. We want everything God has for us right now. And when we can't, when right now we don't have the ability, when right now God hasn't given us all the steps and all the power, we start to make the excuses and we do not do the things that God wants us to do. Don't allow the season of life, the stage of life, to make the excuse that you can't do something for God. Do you understand God's not in the torture? My father-in-law just a few months ago passed, had stage 5 cancer, stage 5 dementia. A year ago when we first really found out, a year and a half ago, I was down in Texas. I was in Henderson, Texas. I was sitting in his parking lot there. And he was on duty that day because he pulled in right as I was talking to you because I was crying and praying with you. When the preacher pulled in there, he's a local police officer down there, pulled in for the service. I was extra early. Casey called. She said, Phil, do you think maybe God gave my daddy dementia so he wouldn't feel all the pain of this cancer that's all through him? And man, we just wept and thanked God and prayed. Do you understand that the God of heaven's not in the torture? He's not. And if God has you here, listen, I don't care what the physical disability is. I don't care what the mental disability is. Listen, some of us have some pretty deep emotional disabilities. Just be honest with you. Some of us have seen things that messed us up. You may have adults in this room. We've seen things that we would never discuss with you that have affected us, that have changed our lives, things that have shaken us to the core when we were your ages that we'd never talk about, that we could very easily allow to stop us from doing the things in life that God wants for us to do. Don't allow the lack of ability, of the power right this second. Don't make excuses for what God wants to do with you. He says in verse 13, let me give you the next one here. In verse 13, and Moses said unto God in Exodus 3, I'm going to give you these next ones. He says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, he's assuming now too. That's right. That's what we like to do. We like to play the scenario out. He says, they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? His first excuse is, I don't have the power. I lack the ability to do it. His second excuse was, I'm inadequate, Lord. I don't have all the head knowledge. I don't know everything about you. They may ask a Bible question that I can't answer. What am I going to do? I can't go witnessing. I can't witness to my uncle because he may throw out a Bible question that I can't answer. So I'm just not going to say anything. I'm just going to let him die and go to a devil's hell. I'm not going to say anything to my spouse, to my child, whatever it may be, because I don't know all the Bible verses there are, so I'm just going to do nothing. And sometimes, unfortunately, that's the way us as human beings we can be, isn't it? And God said it's not about the knowledge that you have in your head, and it's a long, you could read another time, verses 14 through 22. God really gives it to Moses here on his response of, when he says, I don't know enough about you, God, but listen to me, God, he says, I am who I am. God just stands on business. God is who he is. He's going to do what he said to do. Following God can often be scary, but it's an act of faith. We look at the task. We can become distracted. We see the setbacks. We see all the things in the way of life. Listen to me. Don't you ever, young people, I don't care what age you are. Don't you ever allow money. Don't you ever allow ethnicity. Don't you ever allow your education. Don't make excuses for not serving God. Don't do it. Listen, none of us have this thing figured out. If I get up there and pretend like I have things figured out, your preacher got the wrong guy behind the pulpit to say I got everything in life figured out, that I got this book all figured out. I don't. No one does. But we have a God of heaven who will lead you and guide you in the all truth and knowledge if we're faithful in his word. Stop making the excuse, well, I can't serve God and I can't do that because I don't know it all yet, God. I don't know it all yet. None of us do. Never allow those things to get in the way. He said, as he reminds us in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, he says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, he says, above all that we ask or think. Isn't it amazing? God is able to do above all that we ask or think. That's what he tells us in Ephesians 3, 20. He says in verse 21, according to the power that is in with us. Imagine how Noah must have felt. The first man to see rain, first man to build an ark. Fellas, I don't know about you. I didn't grow up around building stuff. When I look at trying to fix stuff at the house, it is a gigantic task in my life. Even when it's things I do know. I know computers a little bit. I can do some programming and things. Even when I'm messing with the radio station. Sometimes the task ahead of me is so much work. When we change a radio server, we're going to switch to something different. I have to learn a whole new, I've done different web design over the years, used different open platforms, you know, learning all these different web design platforms that they have out there over the years. And when you sit down and you look at it, it's so much. It's so much when you look down, man, I'm going to learn Joomla or whatever, or WordPress, or, you know, all these different, probably none of those exist anymore, but all these, there's so much out, there's so much information there. There's no way I could ever do any of this. And yet, the God of heaven says that he will lead us and guide us and help us. Noah, stand up against that ark, man, and start building that thing. Hey, think about Daniel hanging over that line. All he knew is he was supposed to pray. I pray and I serve God. That's what I do. Doesn't matter. I don't know how they had him cuffed hanging over that lion's den. Kids, can you see him hanging over that lion's den? I don't know what was going on in Daniel's mind. No, he's trusting the Lord. He didn't know nothing about them lions. He didn't know what he was going to do when he got down in there. But it wasn't in his knowledge. It was. What about them three Hebrew boys? The king said, wait a second, maybe you fellas back there, you three didn't hear me. When my band plays, y'all supposed to bow down to the image. You didn't see like the thousands and thousands of other people do it? They all did it. Y'all three can't do that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what's wrong with y'all? We gave you a new name, we gave you a new place, gave you a new language. How come you can't do that? He said, you know what? I'm going to give you another opportunity. Maybe we wouldn't even read about them in the scripture if they just decided, I don't know how we're going to get out this, fellas. We better get down on the knee. We'll just pretend this time. We'll just get through this. They had no idea how they were going to face the fiery furnace, how they were going to face the king. Yet they did what was right. Stop making the excuse of inadequacies. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. I'll be quick. Don't make the excuses. In chapter 4, Moses gives them the next one. He finishes up chapter 3 in verses 14 through 22, basically answering Moses and trying to help him understand that it's not all in his knowledge and power. And in chapter 4, Moses throws another one at him in verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Hey, he said, they're not going to believe that I spent time with you. I don't have a title. The excuse of inferiority. Well, I'm not a pastor, so that's not my job. I can't do that. I'm not a deacon. I can't hand out tracts. I can't do that. Man, I got saved. I was so glad I didn't need a title to serve God. I'm so glad it doesn't take a title to do something wonderful for the Lord of heaven. It shouldn't take us having accolades or needing titles. Now listen, there are qualifications to different things in life, whether it's your secular job or a biblical job that God has for you. He has qualifications. He does. But that does not mean that you cannot serve God. That does not mean that He does not have things that He wants you to do, that He doesn't have a place for you to be. And it's not, you don't have to be the head of the Sunday school department to be a helper. You don't need to be head over the nursery to volunteer in the nursery once a month. You don't need to be in charge of everything to help out and serve God and be a decent human being in your community. We don't have to be that way. But yet oftentimes God challenges us to do something, and we use the excuse of, I don't have a title. If I had a title, I'd do that. If I had a position, maybe one day God will call me into a position and then I can serve Him more. Young men, I don't know what your preacher does when he New Year's and different things. I don't know what opportunities, if y'all do popcorn preaching and things, but it better never be an excuse of young men here at Grace Baptist Church. That some of you young men say, well, God hasn't given me the title of a preacher, so I'm not going to get up and do that. You ought to look around at each other. Do you realize 10, 15 years, how quick? How many churches I've watched good men, good families that pray and sacrifice and try to spend time with God and do their dead level best? And y'all come and you gather together and you in a bond of unity in a local assembly of believers together, and you start to build and you start to grow. And the preacher, God forbid, gets sick. Listen to me, all over this country, there's churches dead. There's churches that used to be hundreds and now have five people barely holding it together because there weren't good men in the church that couldn't step up and take that book and defend the church when the preacher wasn't there from wolves. They couldn't pick it up and teach a Sunday school class. Ladies, you don't need to be called to be a Sunday school teacher to be able to open up the book of Proverbs or open up the scripture and help another person with the Bible. You don't need a big fancy title for that. Now, you may need your preacher's approval at church. You ought to have your preacher's approval to teach a Sunday school class. You may need that. But you don't need some fancy title to have God use your life. Young men, God ought to be able, every single one of you men, you ought to be able to teach and at least semi-preach a message. Every single one of you. There's no excuse. Listen, man. Guys, if God can use me, y'all have no idea. You just don't. You see a suit. You hear clean, semi-clean words. You have no idea my past. You have no idea the things that I've seen. The disappointments in life. The people I've hurt. The things that I've said. The fights. And just, if God can use me, if God can allow me to open up that book and speak and help people, if I can pray and God can guide my family and lead me and use me, I hope you're listening real well tonight. If God can use Phil Klausner, I know He can use every single one of you for His glory. Amen. Every single one of you. Stop making the excuses. Stop making the excuses of not serving God. And then the last one he threw out in Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 10. When all else failed, it wasn't his inability, it wasn't his inadequacies of knowledge, it wasn't his inferiorities as a title. God dismissed all those things. He took care of all those things. Moses makes one latch ditch attempt. Verse number 10 of chapter 4. And Moses said unto the Lord, Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent neither hereto nor sent. The Bible doesn't talk like that anywhere else except when they quote Moses here, do they? You know he was putting on airs, right? You could tell that, right? I don't know if that's how you read your Bible. When we get to heaven, I'm going to ask God. It seems like he's kind of putting on airs there, doesn't he? Like he's hamming it up a little bit. Your kids ever do that? You tell the kids, take out the garbage, clean up your room. You know, I would. Mom, I would, but my sister pinched me. It might need amputated. Look,
Look how he says this. I could be dead wrong. And Moses said unto the Lord, now I know his excuse is wrong. Oh, my Lord, says, I'm not eloquent, neither hitherfore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. He says, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. When all else failed, you know what he did? He tried to use a physical impairment. He tried to use a physical impairment as an excuse to not serve God. I told your preacher this. December, I got diagnosed. We went in with pain in my stomach, and to make a long story short, I have a tumor on my L1, on my sciatic, and it pinches at times. I try to be really, really careful because it'll shut my whole left side of my leg and everything down. I use a cane and stuff, and I'm a prideful preacher. I don't like using a cane. Ugh, so we're not going to do that. We're going to be careful with what rubs that thing. Life changes. It's scary. Sometimes you can't do some of the things you used to do. You know, I used to be able to take little kids, man, Andre and Matei, and throw them around everywhere. And man, just twist this body all over the place. Just throw stuff around now. A lot more gentle with bone density issues, osteoporosis, and tumor in my spine. Got to be a lot more careful as life ages. The season of life changes. It does. It happens. It changes. Situations come up. We live in a sin-cursed world. We do. Health changes, our hearts and minds, things can go bad and sideways and just living in a sin-cursed world. But it ought never be that a single person in this room ought to use the excuse of some physical ailment for not doing something for God. Oh, you may not be able to do what you once did. Look, I'm here. I'm here really because of a lot of people praying. I'm done. There was one lady, I probably told you about her before. Her name is Miss Sandy Kistler. I got saved at 26 years old. Miss Sandy, she sat far in the back on the left side, right by the vestibule. She is allergic to everything. I mean, you couldn't wear cologne. If your deodorant was strong, she'd go out in the vestibule and say, I mean, she just very sensitive to smells, very, very sensitive. That I learned to stop smoking just from her being there because I felt bad for the poor lady. I didn't have any Bible verse or anything to stop smoking my cigars. I thought, that poor lady can't enjoy church with me, so I'm going to stop smoking cigars. I didn't have a Bible. I didn't have a verse for that yet. I just decided I'm just going to stop doing it because it's rude to her. Miss Sandy Kistler couldn't do much. She was heavy, big all around, big, tall, big lady. Just big, her and her husband, both big, big, big people. And elderly, I don't know how old Miss Kistler was when she passed, but she's up there a good bit. Miss Sandy, when I got saved 17 years ago, there wasn't a whole lot she could do for the Lord physically. Miss Sandy Kistler wasn't going to go down the street knocking on doors. She wasn't going to go down in the basement and be able to teach a Sunday school class. She just wasn't going to be able to do it. Her getting from the car into the church and sitting down in the back of the church was the best she could do. That was her dead level best to be there for God. But I'm here preaching. I've traveled this country 13 years full time because there was a lady in a church in southwestern PA that sat in the back who didn't let anything be an excuse to not serve God. You know what her ministry was? And her handwriting was atrocious. I mean, she had doctor handwriting. She'd write little thank yous. And old lost brother Phil would wake up, and I was in turmoil for about a year and a half. Miss Casey tried to preach to me. She grew up in a good church like this, and we had two kids out of wedlock, and it drove her back to the Lord. She started going back to church, and when she put it in God's hands, I started visiting. She'd push and try things, and I wouldn't go until she won me with her godly conversation. And Miss Sandy Kistler, every time Miss Casey'd visit church, she'd come home. Casey didn't even know it. She put that little card on the corner of the dining room table. I'd get up whenever, 10, 11, 12, didn't matter. Go to the fridge, grab my beer, put on whatever, video game on the computer, put on, produce some music, whatever I was going to do that day. Sit down. And I'd see that on the table and I'd grab it every time. Casey never knew. Every time. And I'd read those little thank yous. And she'd say, Casey and her chicken scratch. And I'd decipher the hieroglyphics, and sometimes you'd miss a couple words. Thank you for coming to church today. Thank you for being there with your daughter. It was a blessing. And the Spirit of God smote a 26-year-old punk gang dropout, drug dealing, drunk, punk idiot, the God of heaven reached down and stuck his sword right through his heart. Because a lady didn't make an excuse on how she was going to serve God. She found a way to serve the God of heaven. And she's been reaping the rewards now for 17 years. She's been reaping rewards of Brother Phil trying to do his best to lead people to the Lord. And it's all to her. It's partly to her account. Hey, what's the excuse you're making this evening? You don't have to have it all figured out. God does. Oh, you ought to do your part and study to show thyself approved. We ought to. We ought to study it and know some things in here. But if you're saved, you know enough to talk to someone about the Lord. Right. You know one Bible verse. You have enough to encourage and help someone. Stop making the excuses. All of us. Let's determine this week. Listen, I know sometimes you might have to work at night or whatever this week. Let's not make excuses for being in the Lord's house. I know I'm the preacher. It's easy for me. I don't have a choice but to be here. Let me just say, let's be careful with the excuses of why we're not at our church's revival. It was important. Casey and I, if we had to, we'd take vacation. I worked at a bank when I first got saved, and I make sure I got off extra early so we could be there for revival services. Listen, I'm not telling you what to do with your life and your finance or anything, and I understand certain jobs, there's no way you can avoid working certain hours and things. I understand that. Let God work on you this week. Give God an opportunity. Come ready. Be prepared. Listen, my preacher says, leave your baggage at the door. Leave the family bickering. Leave the bills. Leave the emails. Leave the text messages and the angry, crazy whoever, the unstable aunt, all that stuff. Just leave that out there. Come in here and let's see what God has for us. I need something from God this week too. I need something from God. And let's not a single one of us make excuses for not being where we need to be and doing the things that we need to do. I have no doubt that there's not people in this room that God will use greatly one day. Some of you young people that God could use the potential in this room, you have no idea the potential. Just what two of you young men and young ladies could do, let alone all of you, to turn around a county, a city, a state, if you just get in here, not make the excuses, and let God's light guide the path. What's the excuse you've been making? Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. If there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that tonight they will stop the excuses of being lost and why they haven't done it and haven't made that decision. I pray tonight will be the night that they get it done. Lord, help us. Help us to not use our situation, the stage and season of life. Help us not to use our shortcomings, our birth defects, our physical ailments, our mental deficiencies to be an excuse to not do anything for you. Lord, help us. Draw close to us this evening. We love you. And we thank you and bless us during this time of prayer. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed for just a moment. If you're here this evening and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, don't make any more excuses. Stop making excuses. Don't let some infirmity be an excuse. This is amazing. God used a donkey to preach to Balaam. He used a rooster to speak to Peter. God's so good, he spoke to Gideon with an old sheep's hide. And I'm telling you, God can and he will use your life. It may not be to run marathons and run around the country on giant stages or whatever it may be, but I have no doubt God wants to use you right where you're at the stage of life you're in right now. What is the excuse that you and I have been making? Lord, help us. Bless us, please. Help us during this time of prayer to make a decision to drop the excuses and just follow you. Bless us now as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This piano player comes. The altar's open this evening. What's the excuse you're making? Is it an inability?
Is it some inadequacy, some title, some position that you'd like? Is it some infirmity of the flesh? How about this evening we go to an old-fashioned altar? I'm going to pray in just a moment after I'm done talking. And we just drop the excuses. Maybe it ought to be this evening we just pray and ask God, Lord, what is it that you could do with my life? When's the last time you were just available for God to be able to use? When's the last time you presented yourself? We talk to young people about it. Man, we send our kids and we send the youth off. We say, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And man, we'll get young hyper preachers like Brother Philip Aaron, man, to pound on them with the Bible and serve God, serve God, serve God. But when is the last time us 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 and 80-year-olds presented our body as a living sacrifice and said, God, I don't know what you could do with me. I don't know what you want to do with me. But God, I want to finish this thing well and I want to serve you. Listen, the altar's open this evening. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go down and hit the altar. I want God to use my life. I want to stop making the excuses that even I make of why I'm not the dad I should be, why I'm not the husband I should be. I want to be better. I want to be more than I am today. Don't you have a desire down in you, a cause to do something for God? If not, you ought to hit an altar and ask Him. Ask Him to help soften your heart. Lord, bless us. Preacher, won't you come? I'm going to pray.
The altar's open if you need to come. If you want somebody to pray with you, we can do that as well. But the hymn tonight is Trust and Obey. Stay with me, please. 337. But think about this. This is the key to everything in a Christian life. Moses needed to trust that God was who he said he was and would be with him as he said he would, and obey. Noah was commissioned to build the ark. He needed to trust and obey. And you can go through the entire Bible and come right down to here in 2025, and it's the same thing. God wants us to trust him and obey him. Without excuse, without hesitation, just to obey, doing what God wants us to do. As we sing, if you'd like to come, please come as we sing. 337. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Third verse. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but it's blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Pay attention to the words, this fourth verse. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Fifth verse. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's it. Trust and obey. What's God want you to do this week? What's God want from you? Are you willing to trust him and follow through and obey? Please remember the offering as you leave tonight. And pray for Brother Phil and Miss Casey and the girls. And Dan, dismiss us in prayer, please.
Father in heaven, thank you for this message tonight. God, help us to daily ask you how to serve you. And God, help us make that commitment. Help us, God, to trust you, to lead us. God, thank you for the cause and standing here today. And thank you for this week. God, help us to commit to serve you.